Next, The International Radio Report. Y les deseamos a todos nuestros oyentes un muy feliz año nuevo. And to all our listeners, we wish you a happy new year.
This is Amanda Dawn Christie telling you that if you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Welcome, everybody, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, January the 7th, 2024. We hope you all had a good, happy new year. We're with you here again every week, 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill. We have an email address for you to reach us if you'd like to. It is radioreport@yahoo.com. We are on CKUT Radio 90.3 in Montreal. Our website is ckut.ca. You can hear our show live streaming or archived, and also check out all the other programming that is aired on CKUT. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report, has 952 members. We invite you to join the group. We welcome Jim over in Southampton in the UK and Dennis joining us this week. Our YouTube channel, very popular, 928 subscribers. You can go and catch the show at your convenience if you're not available on Sunday mornings to hear it live. Look for International Radio Report on YouTube at IRR. And our Twitter account, slowly but surely climbing, our X account, I guess I'm supposed to say, is at 37 followers. And you can find us at IRR. CKUT, if you'd like to join in there. So we'll get things started off with a new year, and some things are new and some things carry over from last year.
Yep, the FCC starts new year of pirate enforcement, again focused on New York. This is via Inside Radio. The new year begins with an old problem for the New York broadcasters, pirates. The Federal Communications Commission on Thursday released a pair of warning letters it sent to property owners in Brooklyn, New York, where it says unlicensed stations have been operating. One of the warnings went to a real estate holding company called RAAV 2617 LLC, which owns an apartment building in the Little Haiti section. FCC field agents tracked a pirate station operating on 90.5 FM back to Newkirk Avenue building in November of 2022. Agents then used direction-finding equipment to track a pirate station at 99.3 FM in May of 2023 to an apartment building in the Brownsville neighborhood owned by 70 Rockaway Parkway, Inc. In both cases, the FCC is asking that the property owners respond in 10 days, providing evidence they no longer permit the pirate station on their property. Each is also asked to identify the individuals behind the unlicensed broadcasts. The FCC will use that information to determine what, if any, enforcement action is required. The federal law allows the FCC to issue penalties against pirate radio broadcasters of up to a maximum of more than $2.3 million. In addition to tougher fines on violators, the law requires the FCC to conduct periodic enforcement sweeps and grants the commission authority to take enforcement action against landlords and property owners that willfully and knowingly permit pirate radio broadcasting on their properties. Pirate enforcement efforts in New York have increased in recent months. In November, fines worth a combined $6.4 million were issued by the FCC against three alleged pirates. It proposed a $2.3 million fine, the most allowed under federal law last year, against two of the alleged pirates, with a third sanctioned $1.78 million. So, if you can't get to the pirates, well, let's go see the landlords and try to fix the problem there.
I wonder how many cases where it might actually be the landlord that's doing the broadcast. Like, you know, he gets the fine, FCC, well, gee, I don't know what's going on. I'll go check. But it's actually the owner, maybe, in some cases. If it's not, does the owner know exactly what they're looking for?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little, I guess, presuming that they're going to give the guy the notice and he's going to figure out, okay, this is what I got to go look for. You know, maybe there's an antenna up on the roof or sticking out of a window somewhere or something like that. But it's sort of putting a lot of responsibility on the property owner. If they know where the property is, though, why aren't they going after the person doing it, the broadcast, though?
In an apartment building, it's kind of complex. What are you going to do? Enter, and if you can see an antenna, can you see where the antenna is going? Where is the cable going? If not, then what? You're going to enter and start knocking on everybody's door, asking them, well, you know, we need to check because we have pirate station here and we're wondering which of you is doing it. So that could be, in legal terms, maybe a problem. So yeah, let's ask the landlord and see what happens.
Yeah, well, I think legally a landlord has to get permission to go into an apartment as well.
Yes.
That's part of the problem. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this all comes around. It seems that in most cases, the stations that are doing this tend to be either from ethnic communities or from religious communities.
Yeah.
Those seem to be the two key elements of pirate radio these days. Elements of the population that they feel are not being well served by conventional radio. So, you know, whoever's doing these stations decide, okay, I'm going to put something on the air myself. Maybe realizing it's illegal, maybe not. Whether they're ever going to collect any of these fines, I still have my doubts about that. Pretty steep amounts of money. Yeah. Maybe they're just trying to scare people. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
All right. Next, we have a story passed along from our CIDX member, Mickey Delmage, out in Sherwood Park, Alberta. He received actually what they're calling a press release from Radio Free Asia. They are announcing a new QSL card number 84 for January 2024. For those listening to our show who don't know what a QSL card is, these are verifications. So you can send a report to a radio station to tell them that you were hearing their signal. And in some cases, the stations will respond to you either electronically or by regular mail with a card or a letter, which are called QSL cards or QSL letters. So Radio Free Asia is saying to welcome the Year of the Dragon, Radio Free Asia, which is a U.S. government radio-sponsored service, Radio Free Asia is announcing its latest QSL card. While we are celebrating together with all of you to welcome a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year, we wanted to highlight a value we hold dear, Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers. This is RFA's 84th QSL design and will be used to confirm all valid RFA reception reports from January through April of 2024. Created by Congress in 1994 and incorporated in 1996, Radio Free Asia broadcasts in Burmese, Cantonese, Khmer, Korean to North Korea, Lao, Mandarin Chinese, Vietnamese, Tibetan, including Uke, Amdo, and Kham dialects, and Uyghur. RFA strives for accuracy, balance, and fairness in our editorial content. As a surrogate broadcaster, RFA provides news and commentary specific to each of our target countries, acting as free press these countries lack. Radio Free Asia broadcasts only in local languages and dialects, and most of our broadcasts comprise news of specific local interest. More information about RFA, including our current broadcast frequency schedule, is always available at rfa.org. RFA encourages listeners to submit reception reports. Reception reports are valuable to RFA as they help us evaluate the signal strength and quality of our transmissions. RFA confirms all accurate reception reports by mailing a QSL card to the listener. RFA welcomes all reception report submissions, not only from DXers, but also from our general listening audience. Reception reports are accepted by email at qsl@rfa.org or by mail, and we'll put up a link with the address for you. So that's a nice thing to do. Not a lot of stations any longer are doing this sort of thing, but this one is basically using the reports to give them information on how well their signals are being heard. In exchange for the listener doing that, they're going to issue these cards to people who send in the reports.
Yeah, these are always nice to have. I think I should do it because I don't think I have a card, a QSL card from them. So
yeah, it's interesting. They're putting this press release out in English, but they don't broadcast in English. So a little bit odd, but you can pick up the schedule and see, you know, what languages and what frequencies at what times. So you can use that information to help you create your report. Or maybe you speak one of these languages. So
yeah, I would guess to put out a press release like this, I guess they really need the information and they want to know how well the signal, even if you're outside technically the target area, you know, if you send a report in North America, we're not targeted, but probably it gives them still an idea of how well their signal is going out there.
There could be people from some of these countries living in other countries, you know, who may have moved and relocated, but want to hear information about what's going on. So if they're able to tune in some of these Radio Free Asia broadcasts, they may be listeners as well.
In our next story, Baikula Women's Prison in Mumbai starts an FM radio center for inmates. This is via the Hindustan Times. Gupta was interviewed by inmate Shraddha Shugul on Friday after the inauguration of an FM radio center set up on the prison premises, said a police official on Sunday. The initiative not only aims to provide entertainment to the inmates, but also help them reform through devotional spiritual programs, apart from upskilling some of them with the knowledge of radio broadcast, he said. The concept of an FM radio center inside a prison is not new in the state. Such facilities already exist in places like Pune's Yarrawadda Central Jail, Nagpur Central Jail, and Amravati Central Jail, and Kolhapur Central Jail, the official said. It's a first for women inmates. There is always a sense of uneasiness in the mind of every person who enters a prison, the official said. Additionally, thoughts about one's family, future, and case create a negative feeling in the minds of the inmates, he said. Keeping these aspects, the FM radio center was started at the Baikula Women's Jail to guide the inmates towards positivity. Here, women inmates will work as radio jockeys. Devotional songs and spiritual programs will be presented through this FM radio center. Even songs will be played on demand, said the official. Apart from assisting in the reformation of those on the other side of the law, women inmates will also be trained as radio jockeys so that they gain skills for employment in future after their release from prison, the official said. As inmate Shugul took on the role of the radio jockey during the interview with Gupta, the state's additional director general of the prisons, they discussed facilities currently being provided to prisoners. Gupta also talked about facilities that the department plans to provide to prisoners in the future, keeping in mind their human rights, the official said. Also, during the interaction between the top prison officials and foreign prisoners, the latter expressed gratitude for the introduction of E. Mulakat, he added. So, you know, this is a good way to help in prisons. If, you know, I mean, inmates, one of the things you want to do is keep them busy, keep them doing something that might help them actually in the future and maybe, you know, turn things around in their own lives. And radio is one aspect that's pretty interesting here, and providing information also.
Yeah, we've had stories in the past of these prison radio stations in other countries. And from this article, it seems that India has had several of these stations set up in the past at different prisons. This, though, as I say, being the first one at a women's facility. So, yeah, it is good to keep them thinking and occupied and, you know, doing something creative as well. So, and like you said, it could benefit them once they are released from prison if they're interested in maybe a career in radio.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun is pretty active this week. It actually flared quite a lot. Actually, we had the what I was calling the sun wanted to bring in the new year also with an X5 class solar flare, which was pretty big. And a lot of flaring going on because there's one sunspot, which is AR3536, that has a very weird mixed polarity. Basically, it has like two twisted poles, which is very weird, but often means that the chances of solar flares are quite high. Actually, as we are recording, they're saying that there's 40% chance of a solar flare just today. So this is probably going to be something to look at during the day today and the coming week. Sunspots also are rising. We are going to reach apparently a possible solar maximum this year. And go to the spaceweather.com webpage. They have some interesting pictures of what the sun looks like from the 2020 year 2020 when the solar cycle 25 started up to 2023. Huge difference in the number of sunspots. Sunspot number 64, solar flux 126. Most of the time when there's not too many flares and geomagnetic storms, conditions are quite good, especially in the high frequencies. But it's an up and down moment with all of this activity. So you got to listen at the right time. But even when there's solar flares or geomagnetic storms, do listen, because sometimes it brings in some weird propagation from places you don't hear often. But the only way that you can actually witness all of this is to turn on a radio and listen.
This is Jeff Eichner of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, United States of America. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Our next story is the Afghan Journalist Center releasing their 2023 annual report on media freedom in Afghanistan. This comes from a news service called IFEX ALC. The Afghan Journalist Center released its report detailing the condition of journalists and media in Afghanistan in 2023. According to the report, journalists and media professionals in Afghanistan encountered significant obstacles and infringements on their basic rights and legal protection throughout the year, severely limiting their freedom and capacity to function effectively. These restrictions and violations stem from at least 14 media directives, some of which were issued in 2023. These guidelines encompass various aspects of the media, including the prohibition of women's work in national radio and television, a ban on covering demonstrations and protests, restrictions on news preparation and publication, the obligation to refer to the Taliban as the government of Afghanistan, a ban on music publication, and mandates for female journalists to cover their faces, and limits on women's involvement in dramas and entertainment programs. The guidelines also enforce gender segregation within the media, prohibiting women from interviewing men and vice versa. Additionally, media is prohibited from interviewing Taliban opponents and critics, broadcasting international radio and television programs, publishing political, security, and social advertisements without coordination with authorities, criticizing Taliban officials, broadcasting women's voices on media channels in Helmand, and collaborating with banned media. These directives have been strictly enforced over the past year. The report highlights that the wide-ranging and ambiguous nature of these guidelines has had a detrimental effect on media production and content. Taliban officials seldom grant interviews to journalists, and spokespersons are not readily available to answer substantive questions or may outright refuse. While the consequences of noncompliance with these guidelines are not explicitly stated in the media directives, the findings of the AFJC reveal that journalists who have disregarded them have faced threats, imprisonment, or punitive measures such as temporary or permanent termination of media operations. The annual report documents at least 168 instances of violation of journalists' rights in 2023, including one journalist's death, 19 injuries, 87 threats, and 61 arrests. Though these numbers reflect a decrease compared to the 260 recorded incidents in 2022, the nature and structure of the violations remains unchanged. The intensified pressure on media and journalists through the implementation of these guidelines has resulted in reduced freedom, compromised independence, increased self-censorship, and a shift in media coverage towards humanitarian and educational events. Of the total events recorded in 2023, 8 media bans were imposed, 5 of which were temporary for weeks, while 3 outlets, including 2 news websites and a radio station, remain prohibited from operating. Furthermore, within the last year, at least 4 trials have been held for media managers and journalists in the country. AFJC reports that these courts were held in absentia, addressing charges against managers of 10 private media outlets and 3 employees of national radio and television. 2 private radio station managers faced in-person trials, while others faced prosecution related to their media work. Among those convicted, 2 media outlet managers have been sentenced to 1 year in prison and are currently serving their sentences. The findings of the report indicate that the Taliban's intelligence department and Ministry of Vice and Virtue were directly and indirectly responsible for suppressing media and freedom of expression in 2023 through the arrest, threats, and intimidation of journalists, while making extensive efforts to enforce the media directives with severity. Despite the Ministry of Information and Culture's efforts to address complaints and violations through its specialized commission, the power and pressure exerted by intelligence representatives have impeded the commission's ability to effect tangible improvements, resulting in ongoing rights violations against journalists and media. Expressing deep concern over the continued serious violations of journalists and media rights in the country, AFJC urges the Taliban government to rescind the extra-legal media guidelines and instead implement the media law and the law on access of information, which are considered applicable in order to foster a climate of free media activity. The AFJC calls on the government to facilitate and support these laws. I don't think they're going to have a lot of success.
No, unfortunately, freedom of expression and freedom of press is not something that the Taliban wants.
You know, they are pretty rigid guidelines that they've set. And, you know, even though these reports are made public, I just, you know, I'm afraid that they're going to continue. They're going to carry on unless something really dramatically changes. And you know, I don't think any of us really expect to see that happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. The importance of having media that comes to you on the radio over, you know, other parts of the world is really needed, because here it's definitely a state that will refuse to have any of the journalists really talk about freely about what's happening in life in Afghanistan in general. So in our next story, we have Dembe FM in Uganda that goes silent after 21 years. This is via Radio Info Africa. Dembe FM, one of the oldest Luganda language radio stations in the country, could soon be shutting down for good. The station management announced on Thursday that they were discontinuing all its programming indefinitely as they figure out its future. We regret to inform our esteemed listeners, clients, and stakeholders that the station, for the foreseeable future, will have no scheduled programming as the board and management reassess its continued viability as a business concern, the station management announced in a statement on social media. A similar announcement aired repeatedly on the station, calling on listeners to keep tuning in as they await the next step. There was no word on the fate of the station's employees. By Thursday evening, the station, which broadcasts on the 90.4 frequency, was playing music and running adverts. Dembe FM went on the air in May 2002 as part of the Dembe Enterprises conglomerate owned by tycoon Karim Inji. Over the years, and following its acquisition by the Nation Media Group, the station rebranded itself as a leading entertainment Luganda-speaking FM radio station targeting female listeners. The station has faced financial challenges related to taxes and had several run-ins with the government. It has been closed down twice, most recently in 2018 for alleged promotion of witchcraft. Dembe FM was also closed by the government in 2013, along with all the other national media outlets, over a news story run in the Daily Monitor about a controversial letter authored by General David Sejusa about General Muhoozi Kainerugaba. So, tough times, and I guess when you look at the way media is and how, you know, they've been shut down a few times for some controversial stuff, funding probably is a tough thing to get by for one of these stations. And it's the same, I would guess, everywhere also. You know, getting funding for a radio station is always a difficult task.
Yeah, this is a station broadcasting. I wasn't even sure what Luganda was when I first saw this story, and it is an ethnic dialect in the East African area, including Uganda. And so it's obviously serving a very specific community. And to lose a station like this after 21 years is going to be, pretty sad for listeners who depended on that station, particularly with them focusing on a female audience as well. So something that's kind of a shame to lose, but it looks like, I guess it's not a done deal. They're still looking at ways that they might possibly be able to stay on the air, but for now, it doesn't look too good. So there you have it.
Yeah, we'll hope that things can change, because I think it's probably a service that's needed, but it is sad to hear.
I guess it's a common thread that we're seeing through so many of our stories like this, where specific types of radio stations serving a specific need for a specific community have difficulty, whether it's financial or whether it's somebody opposing what those stations are doing. It's constant pressure that's on the heads of these people trying to run these services, which is really sad, particularly when they're trying to do such a unique service for people that find it so important.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
We have a few things coming up next weekend for you if you're an amateur radio operator, or if you're tuning around the bands and tune into the ham bands, you might hear some of these events going on. The first one comes from Indonesia. It is the YBDX contest, organized by the Indonesian Amateur Radio Association. It's running from 0000 to 2359 Zulu on January the 13th. It's in single sideband, and it's covering 80 through 10 meters.
We have the UBA PSK63 prefix contest, 1200 Zulu January 13th to 1200 Zulu January 14th, organized by the Royal Belgian Amateur Radio Union, mode PSK63 only, bands 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters.
And finally, the North American CUSO Party, the CW portion. The contest is taking place from 1800 Zulu January the 13th to 0559 Zulu January the 14th. It is organized by the National Contest Journal, CW mode only, 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters.
And we are out of time.
We certainly are. We thank you for tuning in to us. We are here every Sunday at 10:30 Eastern, 15:30 UTC. We hope you can tune in again next week. We thank you for listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in the city of Montreal.
Bye-bye.
This is the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland, with a relay transmission via Bel Air in the Netherlands Antilles.
Cereals, don't...